Welcome to The Offer, the no sugar added approach to the talent triangle with an unfiltered view of employers, candidates, and recruiters. I am your host, Michael Glinter. The Offer, unfiltered. Before we get started, just a reminder, if you need any type of services, questions, you are looking to do a sponsorship on my show, or you have needs as far as resumes or anything as far as the staffing industry, please email me at michael@michaelglinter.com. Again, that is michael@michaelglinter.com, so we can connect. You can also check me out on social media. And please, as a reminder, don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast to get weekly updates, as well as please pass along information to your friends and family. It's finally here, season two. Again, I want to thank everybody from season one who participated in my show in the launch of its first season. This season, we're going to continue the momentum. I decided that I'm going to start the season with something a little bit more lighthearted. I want to talk about some of the top 10 worst candidate moments and that I've had over the last 21 years and that I've been a part of, just so people can understand kind of what to do and what not to do when you're interviewing for a position, and also how you can carry yourself through it if you do have one of these episodes happen. So let's talk, and this is in no order. I decided I was going to try to order it based on what I thought was the funniest, but then I thought they're all so kind of quirky and funny that I thought I'd just read them out or tell you about all of them. So my first story goes back to a client of mine in North Carolina. A candidate interviews for a job, and he's supposed to start his job in 3 weeks. He accepts the job, they start the background check, and in the midst of all this, he starts applying for additional openings with the same company in different locations. Well, what the candidate really didn't know is that their centralized recruiting system means that all the resumes were going to the same person. Well, ultimately, the recruiter that hired him through the company and was putting him through the process of getting ready to start received multiple resumes from him for different positions throughout the company. And in fact, unfortunately, it ended up costing him the job. They decided not to pursue him. But rule number one, when you're done accepting a position, first of all, it's you shouldn't be applying for jobs anyways. But make sure that if you're that careless, that you don't apply to the same company when you just accepted a job. The next story is actually kind of funny. I actually like this story. This was back in the early days of me working in the business. I had a candidate going to a consumer products company. And every time I prep a candidate, I always tell them, make sure you understand the company, what they do, and what their brands are. Because you want to know what you can talk about when you're talking to them to kind of show that you have interest. So he goes to his interview, and he's interviewing with all these different people. And the final interview is with one of the VPs, a good friend of mine. I've known him forever. And he's interviewing the VP, and the VP looks at him and says at the end, last question, he says, what is one of your favorite brands of our company? And the candidate thinks about it for a second and says, you know what? I think it would be brand X. Well, it just happened to be that brand X was one of their competitors' brands. So the guy had a little bit of a chuckle, the VP, and looked over him and said, okay, now that you named our competitive brand that you like, what about our brands that you like? Needless to say, the candidate left very embarrassed. He did not get the position, but it just shows you that when you're interviewing with a company, you should really understand what the company does, what brands they do, what products they make, so that if you get asked that embarrassing question of, you know, what's your favorite brand of ours, you don't answer with the wrong brand. Next story is interesting, quite, and it actually is happening even today. It boggles my mind when candidates fake their work history. It boggles my mind when they put down they work for a company that they never worked for. Or even better, when they say they work for as an independent consultant, but can never tell you who they actually did consulting for. And so it's obvious that it was a stopgap or a filler. But this is a story that I think will blow everybody's mind. I get a candidate, he sends me his resume, his background's amazing. He worked for a cosmetic company for over 18 years.
It was, according to him, it was a $100 million cosmetic organization. He worked in various roles, moving up the ranks, started as an hourly employee, got into a supervisor, then a manager employee, you know, really did quite well. It's probably one of the better resumes that I had seen at the time. And so I screened him on the phone. He answered all my questions, seemed like he knew everything. So I sent him over to my client. Client did the same thing. She screened him on the phone. No red flags, seemed like the most amazing kid on the planet. So she brought him in for interviews, went through the whole process of interviewing and talking to everybody. And at the end of the day, he did really well. They made him an offer. He accepted, set the start in 2 weeks. Part of their process, like many other companies, is to do a background check. So they put him in the background check stage. About 3 days into the background check company calls the hiring manager and says, we've got a small issue. And the hiring manager is like, okay, what's the issue? The issue is, we can't find anybody to talk to at this company. When we call the number, it goes to a voicemail. When we tried emailing the info at whatever the company name was, nobody responded. We can't figure it out. So what we did, because this is what we would normally do, is we did a corporation research on the actual company name. Come to find out, the candidate incorporated the name 18 years prior. It was never an actual company. It was just a name that was incorporated in the state. So, of course, the hiring manager calls up the applicant, and it's funny because, you know, he could have easily just said, let's move on. Obviously, this guy's a liar, blah, blah, blah. But he wanted to play into it a little bit. So he calls the applicant up and he says, hey, we're trying to reach your old employer. Can you do me a favor? Can you tell me the name of the manager that you reported to when you left the company? And he thought for a second and came up with a name. Then he says, great, can you give me that person's number? He gave him a number. Company's like, interesting. Didn't say anything to the applicant, hung up the phone. He goes to call the number right when he hangs up the phone and gets that person on the phone, who apparently is a real person, and says, I see that you worked with so-and-so for 18 years. He's like, so-and-so for 18 years? He's my neighbor. At the end of the day, no, the candidate didn't get the job. I've blacklisted the candidate. I've seen the candidate's resume many, many of times since then. But obviously, for obvious reasons, he's still saying the same thing. He still works for the same company for now 25 years, and he has no other forms of employment. Not really sure how he's paying his bills, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. So the moral of that story is simple. You know, don't lie. I mean, it's plain as day. Just don't lie. There are so many ways that you can talk through gaps in work history and all that such. I do it all the time. I prep applicants that way. I do career coaching that way. I've written resumes where a person has a gap and we figure out a way to fill up the gap that makes sense. But you don't lie about your work history. It's never going to end well. Let's talk about my favorite dress story. So everybody always questions, you know, what do you wear? What kind of outfit do you wear for, you know, different interviews? You know, I often get the times, well, if this is a manufacturing plant, should I dress down? If this is a VP interview, should I dress, you know, in a three-piece suit? And I always used to, back in the day, this was back in the early 2000s, I would tell people, listen, it's just like going to church. You want to look good. You want to, you know, feel good. And you want to represent yourself well. So if you wear a nice suit to church, then wear a nice suit to an interview. So one interview in Southern California, apparently the candidate took my comments of church wear very seriously. The interview starts 20 minutes after the interview started. The HR person calls me up in a panic. And I'm like, what's the problem? She says, well, we were planning on taking him to lunch today. But the GM walked up to me and said, there's no way in the world I'm taking this guy to lunch. And I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why wouldn't you want to take the guy to lunch? She's like, Michael, he's wearing a purple suit with a purple top hat and a feather in his cap, purple shoes, and he's even got a purple cane. Do you really think that we want to take him on an interview? I was laughing hysterically. I couldn't even believe it because I remember 2 days later, 2 days earlier, telling the candidate, you should wear your Sunday's best. Contrary to what one would think, when I say you should wear like you're going to church, it doesn't mean that you wear like you're a pimp on a street. I mean, it was the most funny story. It was a good laugh. Unfortunately, the candidate didn't get the job. Surprisingly, this was for a job paying $110,000 a year. So it wasn't like it was an hourly position. It was for a really high-end job. He was an engineer. Unfortunately, because of the way he dressed, nobody took him seriously. They asked him questions, but in the back of their mind, they were constantly laughing, thinking, oh my God, this guy's dressed, like, so weird. Why would we actually want to hire him? So, at the end of the day, the moral of the story would be, you know, when you're dressing for an interview, dress conservative. You know, don't wear anything crazy. Don't wear anything loud or obnoxious. Make sure you dress non-political, meaning don't wear things that could be misconstrued as showing your political disposition or, like, your religious beliefs. I even tell people that wear crosses, you know, don't necessarily wear a cross. I mean, some people may get offended by that. Let's talk tours. So a lot of times when you go interview, you'll get a tour. You'll get a tour of a facility, an office space, a dental office, an IT company, whatever. I have a candidate going in for an interview, and he's interviewing at a manufacturing plant. A lot of times in manufacturing, they'll offer to tour you around the facility. And most oftentimes, you pretty much stay at a very sidelined area. You don't really walk in the plant. But occasionally, you'll get a tour with a guy or a company where they'll actually take you through the actual plant, where you actually are walking next to products going by you or walking next to the place where they make the mixed vegetables or whatever. So you kind of have to be a little more cognizant of the things that you're doing. So this guy's walking through this industrial plant, and it's not a food plant, so he doesn't have to wear a head net or a net on his head or anything. He's walking through this industrial plant, and it does, like, steel and aluminum and whatever. And he's walking down one of the production lines, and the hiring manager said, oh, can you look over here? Take a look at this line. It's not operating as efficiently as it should. What would you first say by looking at the way it's operating? So the candidate leans over to the line and looks down. Immediately looking down, his toupee, yes, I said toupee, they did exist back in the day, flips over. Apparently they're attached. I'm not sure how. And the toupee goes in front of his face. The hiring manager gasps, looks back. The candidate is utterly embarrassed, flips the toupee back over, puts his head back over the line, holding his toupee in place so that he could observe the production line to let the hiring manager know what he thinks might be going wrong. Now, listen, no one's going to not hire a guy because he has a toupee. It was kind of just a funny thing. But at the end of the day, think about the way you go into an interview and the things that could happen, and try to avoid things like the toupee flipping story where the toupee falls in your face. It was a good laugh. The guy actually got hired. I mean, the hiring manager had no issues with it. It was just really kind of funny. This is a really serious and crazy one. So I had an applicant interview with a company, and on the application process, usually the company will say, have you ever worked for any other locations within our company or any of our subsidiaries? And if you answer yes, it'll ask you where, so they can verify that you are rehirable. So I had an applicant interview at a company, went through the entire interview process, interviewed great. On his application, he indicated no, meaning he never worked for the company. Interviews with the organization, gets an offer, accepts the offer. They're all thrilled, very excited that this guy's coming to start to work for them. Does the background check. Does the reload. They pay a full relocation package to move him from Georgia to North Carolina. Gets to the plant. Day one, everything's going great. He does his new hire paperwork. He talks to HR, gets his uniform, etc. Day two, he goes through an all-day safety training. No red flags. Everything's going great. I talked to the applicant. Applicant's having a good time. Feels like he can't wait to get on the floor, make a difference. And then comes day three. 8 a.m., he gets to the plant, and they say, we're going to go ahead and put you into our payroll system so that you can clock in and clock out and make sure you get paid based on your amount of hours you work. They go to put him in the payroll system, but suddenly they realize he's already there. Can't figure out why, so they send him to HR. He goes to the HR manager, sits down at her desk. She looks him up in the computer and says, did you ever work in another facility of ours? And he looked over at her and said, no, why? She says, So you never worked at a plant over in this location? She's like, he's like, no, I never worked at a plant in this location. He says, that's funny. Well, then why is your picture in our system working at that plant in that location 3 years ago? She takes the monitor and turns it towards him. And sure enough, there's his picture. He looks at her and says, I'm not sure how my picture got into your system, but that is not me. I did not work there. He goes to work. They have him work a whole day. He leaves. Never comes back. Come to find out, after they did their due diligence, he not only worked in the other location for a week, but walked out on the job a week later, never showed up. Listen, I get it. We all have our moments in life. But if you worked at a company already and you're reapplying, be honest. They're going to figure it out eventually. You'll bump into somebody that knows you or you're in their system somewhere. And it's just going to cause a big, massive headache. So do yourself a favor. Be smart about it. And certainly don't lie about it. Now let's talk about another story. This one's actually kind of a sad story. But at the end of the day, she got the job. A candidate is interviewing at a company. She's going through 5 hours of crazy, grueling interviews. She goes to each different manager's office, sits down, talks to them for an hour. She's on number 3 hours in. She's interviewing with one of the managers, and he asks her questions. She starts to answer, and then she all of a sudden feels very faint. She gets very pale. She's sweating. As she's answering the questions, she stops. She looks at the interviewer and says, do you mind if I use the restroom real quick? I just don't feel well at the moment. And he says, sure, no problem. She stands up, and as soon as she stands up, she falls to the ground. 10 minutes go by. There's three people surrounding her. They've got a cold towel on her head. They're basically, you know, feeling on her hand to make sure she's okay, telling her to wake up. She finally comes awake. She looks up, she sees the three people around her, she looks at the hiring manager, and continues to answer the question. She doesn't even stop. It's like she never even fainted. She starts answering the question, the interviewer, the hiring manager says, wait, you realize you fainted? And she goes, oh, does that mean I'm not going to get the job? And the hiring manager looks at her and said, no, let's go ahead and finish the process. And so she finishes the process. And sure enough, a day later, she gets a call from the hiring manager and tells her she's getting the position. So it's not a bad story. However, it is a sad story. We don't know why she fainted. You don't know why she got upset or nervous. You know, it could be that she ate the wrong thing in the morning. It could be her nerves. But obviously, in some cases, some crazy situations end up turning to help us, turning to better for us. Let's talk about a wardrobe malfunction. This is actually hilarious. So this guy goes into an interview, and as many candidates do, I picture this in mind every time I go to the restroom when I'm going to a meeting. You get to the place that you're going to be meeting at, or you're going for an interview, and you decide, okay, I better use the restroom before I walk in, because I don't want to walk in and then have to use the restroom. So the guy goes to the restroom, does his business, goes to zip up, his zipper breaks. Can't get his zipper to close. He's struggling for like 15 minutes trying to get his zipper closed, and it will not close. As he's sitting there struggling, he's sweating. He's sweating into his collar. He's got sweat under his armpits. He's so panicked because he doesn't know what to do. He decides to leave the restroom after patting himself down with a paper towel and decides he's going to interview anyways. So he interviews with three different managers. At the end of the three interviews, he goes into the HR manager's office and sits down. The HR manager looks at him and says, how do you think things went? And he says, I think things went great. I'm a little embarrassed, though, because prior to the interview, my zipper broke in the bathroom and I couldn't close it. And so I hope they didn't notice. She says, well, I haven't talked to them yet. They're actually in the conference room. I'm going to go chat with them and I'll come back. She leaves the room. 10, 15, 20 minutes go by. She finally walks back in, sits down, and looks at him in the eye and says, so, I got feedback. And he goes, what's the feedback? He says, well, they all noticed your zipper was down. And now that they know why your zipper was down, they got a chuckle out of it. And the guy looks down and shakes his head thinking, Lord, I didn't get this job. And she looks at him and says, guess what? They're going to make you an offer. He's like, really? He says, you know why they're going to make you an offer? Because you didn't even flinch. You knew your zipper was down. You knew that they could probably see it, yet you answered every question perfectly. And they want someone who can actually do that in a panic or a pinch. So they're making you an offer. It's a great story, but again, goes back to the same scary thought. What do we do in those types of situations? Here, clearly, this man decided, I'm not going to let this hold me back. I'm going to go forward with it. And he did quite well. So you got to sometimes think, don't panic. Figure it out. Be creative. I mean, I've had things break in before I go into an interview or a speaking engagement when I'm talking in front of a group of 100 people and for some reason my tie rips or something. You be creative. I took the tie off. I joked about it in the speaking engagement. You don't allow something like that really throw you off, because if you do, then it that's not how companies want you to be. They want you to be able to recover, even if there's a small issue or a big issue. So here are my two final great examples of crazy horror stories of candidates. This girl runs, gets up. Her alarm clock doesn't go off. She gets up late. She realizes she's going to be late for her interview. She hurries and gets dressed. She throws her outfit together. She puts on her makeup. She does her hair, blah, blah, blah. Gets in the car. She's running and running and running to get to the interview. She shows up 20 minutes late. She walks in, she runs up the stairs and walks into the front desk and looks at the lady and says, I am so sorry, I'm late for my interview, I don't know what happened, can you please apologize to the interviewer, the hiring manager, please let him know I really still want to talk with him. So the candidate's obviously very upset, she's really worried that she's not going to get the job. The receptionist leaves the desk and goes back to talk to the hiring manager. About 10 minutes later, the receptionist comes back and says, give me a second, the hiring manager's coming up here. So he walks up, guy in a nice suit, walks up to the front desk to greet the interviewee and goes to her and says, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're early. She looked at him and said, no, I'm not early. I'm 20 minutes late. He said, you're 20 minutes late for an interview that's tomorrow. She looks at the interviewee and is like, oh my God, I am so sorry. He's like, no, it's actually kind of funny. But yeah, I don't have time today, but I promise you, if you show up on time tomorrow and not late, I won't even consider it. So the next day, she decides that she's going to be 20 minutes early. So she gets there early, she checks in with the receptionist, and guess what happens? The hiring manager shows up late. At the end of the day, they both joked about it in the interview process. It brought both of their guards down, and she got the job, so it really didn't matter. But at the end of the day, make sure you remember, check the date of your interview. Make sure you know what day it is. Make sure you mark it down right. Make sure you get there early. Always get to your interview early. I don't care if you have to sit in the parking lot for an hour. Always get to an interview early. Never show up on time or show up late, because it just never works out. Finally, this is probably the best story I've had in a long time. It's embarrassing. It's upsetting. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty funny story. So a candidate goes to a client of mine, and my client likes to do group interviews where he puts people in front of a panel. Essentially, he does these group interviews because he wants to see how somebody does under stress and how somebody reacts to, precarious situations where they're put under pressure. So she gets to the interview. She's been taken into a conference room where there's seven executives. She's interviewing for a VP job, so it's not a low-level job. Seven executives around the conference room. She's sitting at the very end. They're sitting on both sides looking at her. And she goes through a 2.5-hour interview process. Firing questions from all angles. She's doing great. The interviewers are nodding their heads, saying good example, everything's going wonderful. At the end of the interview, she gets up, she walks over to each specific interviewer, looks them in the face, thanks them for their time, shakes their hand, tells them how grateful she is for having her there. She gets to the final person who's the hiring manager, says the same thing, shakes his hand, says, I look forward to working with you guys, it's going to be a great time, it's going to be a great team, etc. Everything went perfectly. In the interviewer's eyes, I think they all felt like she should be hired. In her eyes, she nailed every question. She thanks everybody again. She goes to walk out the door, and she walks straight through the glass. The glass shatters of the door. Glass goes everywhere. She falls to the ground with a broken nose. Yes, terrible story. She's laying there. She's in pain. Her nose is bleeding. The receptionist comes running with paper towels and napkins. She gets the bleeding under control. She stands up. She looks over at the hiring manager and says, "Does this mean I'm not going to get the job?" And the hiring manager looks over at her and says, "Well, you didn't kill anybody, so I think we're okay." She ended up getting, like, 7 stitches in her head. She had a broken nose. She was literally walked through a glass door. At the end of the day, though, you know what? They loved her. They thought she was great. They saw beyond the glass, beyond the accident, and decided to offer her the job. I think a lot of it has to do with the reaction of people. Like, she laughed it off and said, while she's sitting there bleeding, "Does this mean I'm not going to get the job?" It shows that she has the ability to take a challenging situation and turn it into something funny or joking or, you know, kind of level-headed or whatever. So, you know, the moral of the story today, we're listening to all these crazy stories just to get you kind of your wet under your lip and kind of get you a little bit laughing and giggling, is really to say this. You cannot predict what's going to happen in a situation when you're interviewing. You're never going to know what you're going to walk into. You're never going to know what accidents may happen. But the number one rule of thumb is not the fact that you go through these situations. It's all about how you respond to them. Don't allow a situation, a person, a problem, an incident, or an accident cause you to be off your game. Show that you're resilient, show that you can bounce back, and show that you can make light of any situation to make a positive situation out of the situation itself. It was great introducing you. This season's going to be amazing. We are going to have great guests on my show. I've already talked to several of them. We have a lot of great issues that are coming up. I would encourage everyone to send me emails to michael@michaelglinter.com and tell me what you want to hear this season. Tell me what people want to come on. If you want to be a guest on my show, I absolutely would love to have anyone and everyone that can talk about some of the biggest issues in the world today and really talk about how we can, you know, help each other have a better way of getting interviews, being hired, and having a successful workplace. Until then, I wish you all a happy second half of the year, and I look forward to a very, very good season.
Please remember to subscribe to my podcast. Also, please feel free to share, like, send, tag your friends. Let them have the opportunity to listen and understand and get a better viewpoint from the people that we talk to. Also, please don't forget, if you have any questions, you can email me at any time. And I hope you guys had a great day.